Tonight, on this Holy Thursday, we celebrate the memorial of the Last Supper and the events that occurred on that sacred evening. On this night, we also remember how in a period of less than 24 hours, the apostles saw their Messiah seemingly collapse into the hands of his enemies and be betrayed by a kiss. And so tonight, I'm going to talk about three topics related to this sacred evening: the priesthood, the Eucharist, and self-sacrificial love, the three topics that the church specifically asks her priests to preach about this evening. First, the priesthood. On the night before he was to be crucified, our Lord gathered only his 12 apostles together for the Passover sacrifice. Together, in the sacred Passover rituals, Christ recalled the promise that God had made to his people, that he would provide a sacrifice to atone for sin, that he would set his people free, and that he would send a Savior who would bring salvation to the world. During this meal, Christ revealed to the apostles that he was the fulfillment of God's promises to them. He would be both the sacrifice that would atone for sin, as well as the Savior. Yet Christ also revealed to them that the apostles would have a share in his mission as well. Love one another as I have loved you. These 12 men, who had only spent 3 years with our Lord during his public ministry, were now set apart to share in Christ's mission of love, to prolong it even after Christ's ascension into heaven. You see, during the Last Supper, Christ would ordain these 12 men to be his first priests, thereby instituting the sacrament of holy orders. The fundamental role of the sacred priesthood would be to prolong Christ's love in the world until Christ would come again triumphantly at the end. The apostles, as the first priests, were to love as Christ loved. In other words, they were to be, as St. John Chrysostom would later call them, alter Christi, other Christs. That was to be the heart of their priesthood, to live out Christ's self-sacrificial love through preaching and the administration of the sacraments Christ had instituted. They were to have a special care for souls, to love the people as Christ had loved them during his life. Yet, and this is very important, Christ's love was no sappy love that we see on the Hallmark Channel or in Hollywood. Christ loved them enough to die for them on the cross, so they could be in heaven with him forever. No greater love is there than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Therefore, the priestly mission of the apostles and their successors would be to lay down their lives in order to bring souls to heaven. That was the radical, self-giving love they were to give to the world, the love seen on the cross. And Christ desired to symbolically teach them how to express this love through the washing of the feet that we heard about in the gospel tonight. Now, feet washing was a customary practice at the time of Christ. Yet people's feet were normally washed by a slave or person of lower status. Therefore, Christ's decision to wash their feet, their Lord and Master, was completely contrary to the culture of the day. St. Peter even recognized how inappropriate this was for Christ to do a slave's work, and as we heard, initially refused to let him do it. You see, St. Peter did not understand the symbolism of the foot washing. First, fundamentally, the washing was a symbol of Christ's soon-to-be death on the cross. He was degrading himself to the work of a slave. By dying on the cross, Almighty God, through whom all things were made, would lower himself to being humiliated by his own creation. Yet that was God's love for them. And through the symbolic washing of feet, he was teaching them that that was to be their priestly love for others. Christ, the eternal priest, was teaching his new priests how to be priests. No matter how imperfect they themselves were, they were to lead the church in his perfect love, this self-denial and servanthood. And then, by others observing them, everyone would learn to love as Christ loved, to give of himself for another's salvation. The apostles were to be the example of Christ's love, literally being other Christs, and thus help the people of God to do likewise. Therefore, even though the foot washing was meant to teach them how to be priests, in other words, to die to themselves, it was a mandate, a mandatum, that all of us, whether single, married, or clergy, are called to follow. Yet however beautiful the wash of the feet was to the apostles on that holy night, our Lord had not planned that to be the only event of the evening. During the Last Supper, Christ took bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to his apostles, telling them that it was his body. Then he took the chalice filled with wine, blessed it, and gave it to them, explaining that it was the blood of the new covenant he was initiating. After he had given the apostles the Holy Eucharist, he told them to do this in remembrance of me. Therefore, he gave them the grace to take ordinary bread and wine, and through the repetition of his words, to transform it into his body and blood, so that his disciples could receive him, even after his death, and thereby be united with him. Christ told his apostles, "Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." This is first and foremost true in Christ's presence in the Eucharist. As Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI once said, in the Eucharist, God's own love comes to us bodily in order to continue his work in us and through us. Now, the institution of the Eucharist was intimately tied to the institution of the sacred priesthood. There could be no Eucharist without the priesthood, just as there could be no priesthood without the Eucharist. The Eucharist was to help them fulfill their mission of love. Our Lord gave his first priests, the apostles, and consequently us, the Holy Eucharist, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, the gift of himself, in order to unite us to him and thus give us the grace to love as he loves, to be a part of his mission of self-sacrificial love, which is my third point, to bring souls to heaven. Modeling their lives off of the Eucharist, priests down through the centuries would live out the self-sacrificial love that Christ called them to by giving of themselves completely to their people, as Christ had given himself completely to them. Therefore, on Holy Thursday each year, we celebrate the institution of the sacred priesthood, the institution of the most holy Eucharist, and that self-sacrificial love that Christ calls each of us to live out. Yet today, we're living in a time and culture which does not know or understand the priesthood, the Eucharist, or even self-sacrificial love. In fact, we're living in a culture that strives to function as if God does not exist in general. We live in a world that would rather be like Judas, choosing money and worldly mediocrity and pleasure over an authentic friendship with Christ. We live in a world that does not reach its eyes past the fears of the world in order to see the things of heaven. Yet the moral decay that we are seeing is not simply confined to the secular world. It also exists within the visible walls of Christ's church herself. In the past 50 years, many of the church's ministers have abandoned their vocations and lost sight of their priestly identity that Christ instituted at the Last Supper. Many priests, bishops, and cardinals have not lived out their priestly office well and have harmed us by their actions. When they were supposed to be living as other Christs, they have chosen to live as other Judases, basking in money and lesser gratifications. Moreover, young men's visions and aspirations to Christ's priesthood have been marred because of the actions of some of Christ's ministers. In our own diocese, we have been plagued by past poor leadership that has caused many in the pews to stop coming to Mass or supporting the church in general. It seems many priests in general have departed far from the vision Christ had for the apostles. Further, many Catholics do not even believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. At communion time, the Eucharist is consumed hastily and without discerning Christ's body. Many people who at this point could return to church safely still do not return because they do not love the Eucharist. From a secular standpoint, people will point out that things aren't looking good for church attendance. And to a degree, they are right. The church today is truly going through a time of crisis. Yet, just as in every other age in history where the church was in crisis, it is during these moments of true crisis where true sanctity is found, where saints arise to help people to encounter Christ and his church once again. After all, every other organization in the world that has had so much corruption in it has eventually imploded, yet not the church. Why? Because she's Christ's, and Christ chooses to still remain present in her, because it is through the church that the world encounters Christ. And Christ's mission is not defeated by the sins of some of his priests and members. Today, more than ever, we live in a world which is longing to experience the love of Christ again. Because we have been baptized, the defining mission of our lives should be to make disciples of all nations, to be part of Christ's mission of love. And this mission, this call to self-sacrificial love, means to have a heart for the poor. It means to serve our neighbor. But we cannot forget that it means ultimately to help each other get to heaven. As Catholics, our mission is to bring people to or back to the Catholic Church. But as we know, we cannot give that which we do not have. Therefore, to be authentic missionaries of the gospel to our families and others, to the world, we must first have a daily conversion of the heart. Despite the busyness and exhaustion of our lives, we must always strive to model our Lord, to love as he loved. In other words, we must seek holiness. And the simplest way we can do that is first by falling in love with the Holy Eucharist, the gift of our Lord to us. For if we love Christ in the Eucharist, everything else will fall into place. If we love Christ in the Eucharist, we will naturally model Christ's self-giving love symbolized in the washing of the feet, lived out in the sacred priesthood, and given in the Holy Eucharist. If we love Christ in the Eucharist, we will have the strength to give of ourselves to our families in love, even when we are struggling. If we love Christ in the Eucharist, we will run to him for strength to get through our busy and exhausting days. If we love Christ in the Eucharist, when we are struggling with faith ourselves because of the imperfections of priests, we will know to whom to bring our burdens. If we love Christ in the Eucharist, we will strive to be more Christ-like. If we love Christ in the Eucharist, our everyday witness will be what brings our loved ones back to the church and what will inspire men to come forward to be ordained as the next priests. St. Augustine put it very simply when he said, "If we receive the Eucharist worthily, we become what we receive." And so we must ask ourselves this honest question. Do we really desire Christ? Are we anxious to meet him? Do we desire to encounter him, to become one with him, to receive the gifts he offers us in the Holy Eucharist? Or are we like Judas, who was physically present with Christ at the Last Supper, but his heart and mind were elsewhere? The time for renewal in the church is now. The time to lay down our lives in service for the salvation of souls is now. By the grace of Christ, it is our job to be saintly witnesses that our world needs today. We have to simply ask the Lord with sincerity for help to fall in love with him and rely on him in the sacrament of his love each time we receive him in Holy Communion. When we kneel after receiving him in Holy Communion, we need to greet him and ask him for help to trust in him and his love for us. Ask him for help to be who he created us to be, to live self-sacrificially for others. He'll take care of all the rest. Our Lord has given us the means to love self-sacrificially through the hands of the priest, in the gift of Holy Communion, the bread of angels, the most holy Eucharist.